From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. If you've been seeing the name Saudi Arabia in news headlines in recent days and are wondering what the fuss is all about, we're about to explain it as best as we can. Last weekend, Saudi Arabia's 32-year-old Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman surprised everyone by rounding up about 200 wealthy businessmen, princes, and government officials in an anti-corruption probe, claiming that $100 billion had been misappropriated through embezzlement and other means over the past several years. The accused are being held at a hotel and their personal accounts frozen. At the same time, the Saudis ratcheted up tensions with Lebanon after that nation's Prime Minister Saad Hariri inexplicably flew to the Saudi capital, Riyadh, and resigned from his position. The Saudi government then ordered its citizens to leave Lebanon and said it faced an effective declaration of war from Lebanon. Saudi forces with strong U.S. backing and weapons have been waging a cruel and relentless war against their impoverished neighbor to the south, Yemen, for several years now. Joining me to help make sense of some of this is Midia Benjamin, co-founder of the human rights group Global Exchange and the peace organization Code Pink. She's a longtime political activist who's written a number of books, including Saudi Arabia, Kingdom of the Unjust, and Drone Warfare, Killing by Remote Control, and more. Welcome to the program, Midia.
Thank you, Sonali. Nice to be on.
Let's first try to make sense of what's happening internally. Some say it's linked to what's happening externally in Saudi Arabia. And of course, we care about Saudi Arabia because, of course, the U.S. has strong relations with Saudi Arabia for many, many years through many administrations, through weapons, through oil sales. What do you make of what's happening internally by Crown Prince Mohammed? Is this a power grab, a way to consolidate his path to the head of that state?
Well, it is a really stunning power grab. First of all, recognize that this 32-year-old has already, by his father, who is suffering from dementia, been put in charge of the two largest sectors of Saudi Arabia, which is the economy and the defense ministry. He used his position in the defense ministry to start this treacherous war in Yemen, and he's used his position in charge of the economy to put forward his vision about how he wants to take Saudi Arabia into the next decades. And now he has done a really spectacular, brilliant move of arresting his rivals under this guise of corruption. Now, they are corrupt. There's no question about that. But so is the whole royal family. It's all built on nepotism and a very unclear line between what is government assets and what are the assets of the royal family. But he has done this in a way that is favorable to the Saudi public to say, well, we're arresting these people because they are corrupt and we're going to freeze their assets. And meanwhile, it's a way for him to consolidate the most tremendous amount of power, I think, of anybody who has ruled the regime.
And the people that he has essentially held in detention at this hotel include a billionaire investor, Prince Alawid bin Talal, Prince Miteb bin Abdullah, who is a son of the late king, and several fellow princes, and massive movers and shakers. And you mentioned that it's being done in a way that's favorable to the public. Why is that? Are Saudis, ordinary Saudis, looking at this as a cleanup operation that they've been waiting for, and they're okay with the fact that it's sort of a political move as long as it does address some corruption along the way?
Well, the Saudi public has known all along that the lifestyle of the rich and famous is the lifestyle of the royal family, and that they have taken the public money and used it for everything from yachts to gamble away millions of dollars a night in casinos in the West. Many Saudis didn't mind it too much when things were going well and the price of oil was high. But in the last several years, with the price of oil down and cuts in subsidies to the Saudi public, there's been more grumbling about those at the top. So I think it's being couched in a way to appeal to the Saudi public. Bin Salman is not somebody, the son, who is very much liked by the Saudi public, but this is a move designed to make him seem more sympathetic to those who are now dealing with trying to get by in an economic time when they're having to pay the real price for many things that they were used to getting at a very cheap subsidized price.
Now, I understand that the Crown Prince has also declared that Saudi Arabia internally should be more tolerant to other religions, which has upset some of the hardline religious forces within, but might be appeasing to a large foreign-born population in Saudi Arabia, also human rights groups. What do you make of this idea that he may want the country internally to become just more tolerant?
I'm very skeptical. I see this as part of a PR move. You know, they have hired dozens of companies to put forward a positive face on the Saudi regime. And meanwhile, if he's somebody who cares about other religions, why is he attacking the neighboring Shiite country so despicably and causing the largest humanitarian crisis in the world? His hands are full of blood of the people of Yemen, and I wouldn't put the nomer of a reformer on somebody like the Crown Prince.
Right, certainly the country has experienced a kind of a tough reputation, a bad reputation for a while now, and it has the money to hire the best PR firms in the West. Let's talk about what happened with.
Can I add something,
Yeah.
Sonali, which when you look at the Shiite population within Saudi Arabia itself, it is since the Crown Prince has been in charge of the military that he has laid siege to some of the parts of the where the Shiite community lives and has cracked down on any dissent there as well.
Let's talk about what's happening with Lebanon. I understand that as a backdrop to the resignation of Saad Hariri and this declaration that Saudi Arabia sees Lebanon wanting to wage war against it was the fact that there was a rocket fired from Yemen aimed at the Saudi capital Saturday. And Saudi Arabia sees Hezbollah, which is a Lebanese militant force, as responsible, even though the Lebanese state and the Lebanese government doesn't necessarily have much control over Hezbollah. Saudis see Hezbollah's actions, if indeed they are responsible, as tantamount to a declaration of war. What is happening with Lebanon? People in Lebanon are fearful that Saudi Arabia could now wage war against them.
Well, certainly the fate of Saad Hariri is very strange that he is holed up inside Saudi Arabia, seemingly against his will.
Right, some are saying that he's under arrest rather than voluntarily having resigned.
Well, why would somebody go to Saudi Arabia to resign when nobody in his coalition had any idea that he was about to quit? But we have to put this in the context of the Saudi. The adverse relationship between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And if you put it in that context, you see that Hariri was presiding over a government in Lebanon that included Hezbollah, which has close ties to Iran, and actually showed that they could govern jointly. The Saudis did not like that at all, and that is why he wanted to have Hariri resign and create more of a crisis internally in Lebanon. It's been said that he has asked that the Crown Prince asked the Israelis to invade Lebanon, which the Israelis are reluctant to do right now. But this is really all in the context of the heating up of the adversarial relationship with Iran, and I would say of the very rash nature of the Crown Prince, who not only went to get involved in the war in Yemen as a way of getting at Iran because the Houthi rebels there have a relationship with Iran, but also to go against Hezbollah in this direct way and to be heating up the tensions in everywhere from Syria to Iraq to Lebanon all as a way to try to reduce the influence of Iran.
Now, Medea, the U.S., as I mentioned, has been backing Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen. There is somewhat stunning silence on Saudi Arabia here in the United States, given the strong relations between the two countries. There isn't much commentary about the moves that the Crown Prince is making. But one progressive representative from California, Ro Khanna, has been speaking out, and he says that the U.S. needs to rethink its relationship with Saudi Arabia and needs to immediately, you know, stop selling arms to the country because we are indirectly responsible for the massacres in Yemen, and, you know, we might be responsible for any war with Lebanon.
Well, certainly he and some others have been raising these issues, but unfortunately, the majority in Congress in both parties have refused to take responsibility, have refused to cut off weapon sales to Saudi Arabia. This was starting to be done at the end of the Obama administration, but when Trump came in, he has a love affair with Saudi Arabia right now, giving them a green light to do all that they are doing, and certainly showing full support for the Saudis' war in Yemen. It's a tremendous catastrophe. One of the saddest things is that the American people don't seem to care about what's going on in Yemen. The mainstream media isn't covering it all, although it's the largest humanitarian catastrophe in the world right now, with an unbelievable number of people who are going hungry, who are not being able to get health care because of the devastation of the healthcare system by the Saudi bombing campaign, and the outbreak of cholera that is unprecedented in recent history, which will probably very soon reach 1 million people.
Wow. So what needs to happen here in the United States? I mean, rather than just being passive observers of what's unfolding in Saudi Arabia, because, you know, we're a country who has bought oil from that country for years and sold weapons to it for years. Is there anything we can do in addition to backing Representative Khanna's call for stopping weapons sales?
Well, it's not just Representative Khanna. There's also in the Senate, Senator Chris Murphy has for quite a long time now be pushing for a reevaluation of U.S. policy towards Saudi Arabia. And things have gotten worse in that the Saudis now have implemented a blockade of humanitarian aid. So if we don't do something quickly, there will be millions of people dying of hunger. So I think it's important to call our Congress people to say, stop the Saudi blockade of Yemen, to stop the weapon sales to Saudi Arabia, and to be really questioning why the U.S. is in bed with one of the most repressive, misogynist regimes in the world, and not to pretend that the 32-year-old Crown Prince is somehow a modernizer, a reformer, somebody who is going to lead Saudi Arabia in a positive direction. This is a country that we should not be aiding and abetting in its war in Yemen or its repression of its own people internally.
And finally, Medea, do you have any sense of what the Crown Prince's next steps might be? You know, a lot of people were caught off guard seeing this rounding up of his political rivals under the banner of corruption, the move on Hariri and Lebanon. What's next?
Well, we should also mention that he created a crisis with Qatar by making ridiculous demands that have not been met.
That Qatar was a source of terrorism funding, which is a very ironic accusation.
Ironic accusation, and of course, not liking that Qatar had decent relations with Iran.
And was home to Al Jazeera, which is critical of Saudi Arabia, et cetera.
That's right. That's right. And so I think this is a very dangerous moment in Saudi Arabia. He might be brilliantly able to get away with it and consolidate power like we have never seen before. Yet he might not be able to get away with it and might be facing some real new palace coups. So it is yet to be seen. But I would say that given all the mess that this 32-year-old Crown Prince has stirred up, it is indeed time to push that the Trump administration should not be giving the green light for Saudi Arabia to be causing all of these problems that could lead as you said, Sonali, to a war in Lebanon and lead to possibly even a war with Iran, which would be absolutely catastrophic.
Medea, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Medea Benjamin is the co-founder of the human rights group Global Exchange and the peace organization Code Pink. She's a longtime political activist who's written a number of books, including Saudi Arabia, Kingdom of the Unjust. We've been discussing Saudi Arabia's political chaos and what it might all mean. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.